The 1-1 to Morrison. Swing and a fly ball deep to right center field. Bosch going back to the warning track, looking up, and this is gone. Goodbye, baseball. In and out of the seats in right field. A three-run home run by Logan Morrison. And the Mariners have the lead here in the top of the ninth inning. His ninth home run of the year. It's the Mariners 3 and the Angels nothing. Holy smokes, what a blast. 3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
How about that? What a ball game. Mariners beat the Angels in dramatic fashion. Logan Morrison, a monster three-run home run clutch in the ninth inning. Felix Hernandez, can we go ahead and call him the 2014 American League Cy Young Award winner? He was dynamite, lights out, keeping the Mariners in it until the ninth inning dramatics. James Jones, a big factor. Just a huge, huge game. The Mariners one game back of the A's, one and a half back of the Kansas City Royals. Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Ho here. This podcast is going to be a little longer than normal. I hope you don't mind, but there is a ton to get to. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll through the highlights in what was just a fantastic game last night. That's coming up in just a second. We'll get all the reaction from the ball game as well. You're going to hear from Logan Morrison. You're going to hear from Lloyd McClendon, James Jones, Felix Hernandez, all the parties that were so key in grabbing the victory. So all that is coming up. We started the day talking about Felix Hernandez in the American League Cy Young Award race. I saw a couple of publications here recently that claimed it had really tightened up. So we're going to talk about that. That's where it began. And boy, did Felix shine in the ball game last night. So that conversation is coming up. We're going to take a look at all the scenarios now. 10 games to go for the Mariners. So all the scenarios for the Mariners, for the A's, for the Royals. We'll even take a look at the Tigers as well. Not only for this weekend, but for the next 10 games. So we're going to lay it all out. We're going to hear from Logan Morrison as well. A longer conversation, pretty timely. So it's very full. A very full podcast for a very big day for Mariners baseball. And, of course, last night was huge as well. So great to have you along with us. Let's get right into it. Let's get into the ball game last night.
What a ball game. And it started with Felix Hernandez, who was just on his game.
Lucette, the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Felix strikes out the Angels here in the third. He strikes out the side. Conger, O'Malley, and now Tony Campana. And Felix, like a cat, is batting around this ball of yarn that tonight is the Angels lineup.
That's the perfect way to put it. That was the perfect way to put it. He was just toying with this lineup, just absolutely dealing. No stopping the King on the hill.
And again, the 0-2 and a swing and a miss by Krohn for strike three. That is strikeout number 6 for Felix, the number 231 on the season. And now he's just one strikeout shy of his career high of 232 back in that Cy Young year of 2010.
Yeah, I mean, and he's closing in. Can you believe that? I mean, 2010, everything he's done, and here he is sitting on his career high.
The 0-2 pitch, changeup, swing, and a miss, strike three, and there it is. Strikeout number 7 on the night. It is strikeout number 232 on the year. That matches his career high. He struck out 232 hitters back in his Cy Young season of 2010. The 1-2 to O'Malley, swing and a miss, strike three, and there it is. Strikeout number 233 on the season, a new career high for Felix Hernandez, King of the Hill, here at Anaheim Stadium tonight, and that will end the inning. 233 strikeouts for the King.
And he wouldn't stop there. He would rack up 11 Ks in the ball game.
The 1-2, cut out and missed, dropped for a moment there by Zunino, who picks it up, applies the tag to the shins of Jimenez. And Felix, most likely done for the night, finishes with 11 strikeouts over seven scoreless innings here tonight inside of Angel Stadium.
He was unbelievable. Seven innings, three hits, no runs, two walks, 11 punchouts, all in 97 pitches. His ERA has fallen to 2.07 on the season. Yeah, he's going to win the Cy Young Award. Remember the whispers about Felix in September coming in? Well, now, four September starts. How about a 0.96 ERA? He is bringing it here in September. He brought it in this game, and it set up the heroics late in the ballgame. Mariners thirsting for offense throughout this entire game, looking for something, looking to break through. Ninth inning with two outs, they get Morales, a single. He reaches base, and then Jones, the pinch runner, changes everything in the inning. He changed it all. Just his mere presence, the threat of him going and taking second base. Ball gets thrown away, so he gets second base on the error. The intentional walk to Kyle Seager. So runners on first and second, two down, and then one of the most dramatic moments you can possibly have in a playoff chase.
The 1-1 to Morrison. Swing and a fly ball deep to right center field. Bosch going back to the warning track, looking up, and this is gone. Goodbye, baseball. In and out of the seats in right field, a three-run home run by Logan Morrison. And the Mariners have the lead here in the top of the ninth inning, his ninth home run of the year. It's the Mariners 3 and the Angels nothing. Holy smokes, what a blast.
Yeah, he's for the third time in the last 9 days, he's hit the biggest home run of his career. This one tops them all. That was big time there. 3-0 lead. But then Hank Conger hits one in the ninth inning against Fernando Rodney. But Rodney with the tying run at the dish would close this one down.
Here's the 2-2, and it's strike three called, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 3-1. Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky. And for Fernando Rodney, his 46th save on the year, and that is a new Mariner club record.
Incredible. Mariners club record. He passes Kazuhiro Sasaki, who did it 2001. Save number 46, and there it is, the ball game.
So a big win for the Mariners and the man of the hour, Logan Morrison, and I just love it. He's talked about the biggest home runs he's ever hit. This is the third time in the last 9 days that he's claimed he's hit the biggest home run in his career. That's not a bad 9 days, but none bigger now, none bigger than the one last night.
You know, I knew that he was going to probably go soft with me. Having said that, though, he throws 97, so you always got to be mindful of the 97. Just watching how he worked, you know, the guys in front of me, the left-handers in front of me, it was a lot of off-speed, change-ups, curveballs. I was not really sitting on it, but I was just telling myself, see that up, see the heater there, and was able to get that changeup up and got enough of it to get out.
You put some swings like that on a couple of balls recently. How much does that help?
Absolutely. We talked about it before the game. Feel like I'm in a good spot. Feel like, you know, doesn't matter what they throw, who they're throwing, I'm going to have a good at-bat, and I'm going to put the barrel on the ball, and was able to do it tonight in a big spot.
Now, since you're not volunteering it, I'll have to ask, where does that home run rank for you?
That's number one, for sure. Yeah, it surpasses the last one I hit, and hopefully I'll have some more down the stretch, and just keep it going, man. We need some more wins, and we know we got a lot of work ahead of us, but that felt good tonight to get this one.
Okay, so temporary best home run ever. Felix out there today, going up there, putting up the zeros. How big was he?
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. He's something special, and I get to tell my grandkids I got to play behind one of the greatest pitchers of all time. So it's another thing I'm grateful for. So
you guys are going through this game, and there is somewhat of a challenge. I mean, there was a switch of a starting pitcher. You did see a good amount of pen. You also had to battle off 0-0-0. What is the mindset in that dugout?
Forget what you've done. It's what you're going to do. That's at least my mantra. I hope that's what other guys are thinking. It's not about your last at-bat. It's about your next one. Get some guys on, do some damage. It's been a struggle, but we're going to come out of it.
How do you take this into tomorrow?
Get some sleep on the plane, get some sleep when we get to the hotel, and go get them in Houston.
I guess guess you'll be in Houston, so there's a good chance you'll be able to find grits for breakfast.
Yes, there will be some grits in the South there. I'm looking forward to it, hitting the grits.
And certainly a part that should not be lost, James Jones, his impact in the ball game. He comes on to pinch run for Morales with two outs, and just he caused havoc by just standing at first base because he's a threat to go. The ball gets thrown away. He takes second base. Seager gets walked, and that set up the heroics. Jones, a massive part of the inning.
Well, the goal was to get to second base anyhow, and I mean, I was looking for the cue that they gave me, and he's speeding up his delivery to the plate, and plus I saw the pitch out too. So, yeah, I'm definitely aware of it. Just have to be, I mean, Andy was the one that told me I have to keep peeking in when I'm running just to know what's going on, and it definitely worked right there.
What have you learned about these situations in the last couple of weeks?
Just always be aggressive and always looking for opportunity to get some next back.
We watched you during the game. You were in that dugout. You were moving the entire time. What's going through your mind each inning is, you know, you're getting closer to kind of go time.
Yeah, I just didn't want to get caught off guard. I knew in those late innings is when I usually come in, and I was just being prepared, and it came up in that last inning.
A game like tonight where everything is just so close and it's tight, it's going. What's the mindset of this team right now?
Yeah, everybody just had that fight. There was nobody getting down. Everybody's just trying to pick each other up, and it was just good vibes in the whole dugout the whole time.
When you saw that ball go over the fence, what?
It definitely felt good. Definitely.
James Jones, great stuff. And, of course, Felix Hernandez, the king, dominated the Angels. He was lights out. They could not touch him. One guy reached second base. That was it. No touching the king last night.
Good. That's good for us. I mean, this is a big game for us right here. And it almost came true. And, you know, like I say, every day we got different guys to step up. So,
how much are you kind of sniffing the postseason where you're so close now? Pitching fantastic. How much are you thinking about what might happen here?
Oh, still season left. We just got to continue playing hard and do the little things and win games. That's all.
Has there been a game yet? I mean, is it any that you had to calm yourself down at all or anything like that?
No, yet? I'm always calm. I'm a calm guy.
Sure, sure. Were you calm when you saw all those zeros after so many innings?
Yes, I was. I mean, I knew if we keep it right there, then we're going to win this game. So.
We ask you always, 97 pitches, 7 innings. Did you put up a fight?
No, actually, I'm just done. I said thank you. But I might do it next time.
And, of course, the skipper, he had the line of the night, Lloyd McClendon. Wait till you hear what he says at the end. As Fernando Rodney closed it down, and becomes the Mariners' all-time saves leader for a single season, passing Kazuhiro Sasaki.
What have you seen from Logan later in the season here as he's come up with a few clutch hits?
No, he's gotten better. You know, he's starting to do what we asked him to do, and that's driving runs. You know, everybody talks about the hitting streaks, but I'm not concerned with hitting streaks. I'm concerned with RBIs and runs scored. So, but he's starting to do that, and that's nice to see.
And Felix tonight looked pretty strong and pretty loose out there.
Felix did a great job for us. Gave us 7 solid innings. And the bullpen came in and did a nice job.
Any thought for sending him back out there for another inning?
No.
It's a bit of a trap game, isn't it? When the other team puts a lineup full of call-ups and backups. And heck, you're in a game where you got to have it.
Yeah, you know, everybody thinks that's easy. That's, you know, that's scary because, you know, it's hard to prepare. You read scouting reports, but you haven't had first-hand competition against them, and that makes it a little tough.
The hit from Kendrys to prolong the ninth and James causing all kinds of problems on the bases. How big was that for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Kendrys got the hit to get it started, and obviously Jonesy coming in really created some concentration problems for the pitcher, and that's a good thing. And Mo got a pitch that he could drive.
Fernando, your closer got a new record for Mariners all-time saves.
Yeah, I congratulated him after the game. It was a fantastic job.
Of the 46, they've all been easy, right?
They all count. It's like, people ask you, how was your flight? If it landed, it was a good flight. So.
And there you go. And it was all set up earlier in the day, too. I mean, think about the dramatic swing just from the night before to that, I mean, really 24 hours. The A's essentially lost two games in 24 hours with day baseball. And it was just from the get-go of their game with the Texas Rangers.
So the Rangers continue with runners at first and third. And here's Rosales, and he takes outside. It gets away from Norris. Down the line, Talese. The throw is not in time. And it's 4-0 in favor of Texas. And going back to last night, the A's have given up 10 runs in the last two innings against the Rangers.
Yeah, not good. Four runs in the first inning. Here is Bob Melvin after the ball game, the A's skipper.
You got to fight being beat down based on what has transpired here recently. So it's not like they're not up for them. You know, we have a game like last night. You come in today, it's a quick turnaround. You know, it's tough to sometimes get over these things, and you know, they're all accountable for what they do. So we all are. So, you know, and then you get down in the first inning, and sometimes it's just tough to find your fight. We've always been able to do that here, but over the last 6 weeks, it's been tough.
You've got three series left. What do you have to do in those three series to get where you want to be?
Win games. I mean, at this pace, you know, every day we're talking about we're still in the wild card. We're still first in the wild card. All that's moot unless we start to play better. We'll find ourselves in no position if we continue to lose. So it's all about tomorrow's game.
So that's it. The A's get swept aside by the Texas Rangers. Mariners split with the Angels and get the dramatic win last night. So let's set up the scenario. 10 games to go.
Let's break this down. Let's look specifically. I mean, this is full-on sprint, baby. There's 10 games left in this season. So the Mariners have three with the Astros this weekend. Walker, Peacock, game one. Young, Keuchel, game two. Iwakuma, McHugh, game three. Then stay on that on the road for four games against the Blue Jays. Something to keep in mind, the Blue Jays have been pummeled as of late and may be out of it by the time the Mariners head to Toronto, which could be a factor. We'll see. We don't know yet, but as it shapes now, we don't fully know what it will look, but here's the way pitching looks. Paxton against Happ, Felix against Dickey, Walker against Burley, and then Young against question mark. Those are the four games there, and then three at home against the Angels to wrap up the season. Don't know who's going to pitch in the final third, final three games. We do know that Felix is set up for the very last game. And here's how it sets up for Oakland. Keep in mind, they just got swept by the Texas Rangers. They play the Phillies for three at home this weekend. Lester against David Buchanan. Pomerantz is going to get the start on the Saturday ball game against Jerome Williams, and then Kazmir against A.J. Burnett. That's how those three games line up. And then the A's take on the Angels. Wilson against Samardzija, undecided against Sonny Gray, and then Lester against Santiago, and then four with the Rangers to end the season. And again, keep in mind, Rangers just pummeled the A's in three games. Now, the Royals. Here's what they have, and we'll get to what's very interesting about their situation, because technically the Mariners are a game and a half back of the Royals. They play the Tigers this weekend. Vargas against looking like Verlander in game one. Shields against probably Scherzer in game two. Guthrie against Porcello in game three of the series. Mariner fans, I think at this point, although the Mariners are just two games back of the Tigers, I think you're cheering for a Tigers sweep in that series. And I think it's going to be Verlander, Scherzer, Porcello, the three games for Detroit. And then Monday happens. Here's what happens on Monday. The Royals have to finish off their game with Cleveland before they play the game that's scheduled. It's in the 10th inning. They're trailing 4-2 and at bat. So they're going to finish that game and then play Cleveland, where Duffy will take on Carlos Carrasco. And if you haven't noticed, Carlos Carrasco is one of the hottest pitchers in the American League. That is going to be a monster day. Royals could lose twice that day. I mean, they're already staring at one right now. I mean, that's a big half game that's hanging over their head. Mariners right now, game and a half back. I mean, in reality, could be just a game back when you look at that situation right now. Ventura against Salazar in game two of the series. Vargas against Bauer in Game 3, and then 4 against the White Sox to end the year. And I know he didn't pitch very well last night, but Chris Sale in line to pitch the final game of the season for the White Sox against KC. And the Tigers have 3 against Kansas City, 3 against the White Sox, and 4 against the Twins. So there you go. That's the scenario. That's how it lines up.
Now, Felix Hernandez, who is so great, he is now in 4 September starts a 0.96 ERA, dealing, owning September, nails for the M's. He's been fantastic. And we started the day talking about the American League Cy Young Award and where Felix Hernandez fits into that.
And it's interesting, I read a couple of pieces this week about the AL Cy Young Award race, claiming that Felix is no longer the lock, that Chris Sale, Corey Kluber have closed the gap. In my way of looking at it, and all respect to Sale and Kluber, who I both think have had tremendous years, but, I mean, Felix, 50 more innings than Sale, and you look at his year compared to Kluber, I think he's outclassed him in a number of areas. Blow, maybe you'll tell me different, but I think right now Felix Hernandez is the front runner for the American League Cy Young Award, and I don't think it's particularly close at this moment.
I don't think that it is either. I think if you look at everything that he has done this year, where he's at, I think he's 7 or 8 strikeouts away from a career high for him. You look at his ERA leading the American League now after Sale was beat up the other day. I don't think there's any question. And then, you know, if you factor in what he means to this club, and, I don't see how it's even close at this point. I think that he has it in his back pocket, and I think he'll be dominant the rest of the way out, and I think he can go ahead and just keep that award. So I don't see where the argument is at all.
Gary, we were talking about this earlier today, and this was just thrilling. This was fantastic to see. On ESPN.com today, on their Sweet Spot blog, there was an article, one that you were referencing, Gary, about the race for the Cy Young this year, and they broke down the top 5 candidates, the names that you listed off there, in terms of just their basic stats, the wins, the losses, the ERA, the home runs, all that good stuff. And along the stat columns, one of the columns at the very top simply said, Felix. And when I first saw that, I thought I misread it. I thought I wasn't seeing it clearly. I look at it a little. My nose gets an inch closer to my computer screen. And, in fact, it said Felix. And at the bottom of all the stats, there was kind of an explanation of some of the more savory type stats. And one of them was Felix. And it was said that it was in honor of Felix Hernandez for going at least 7 innings, 2 runs or fewer. And it shouldn't surprise any of us that Felix leads the league in Felixes.
Exactly. I don't think it's close. You talk to all the other players around the league. You talk to other scouts who watch this guy. He's the best pitcher in the American League, no doubt about it. And when you win a Cy Young Award, which he, by the way, he already has in 2010.
And he's having a better year now than he did then.
He's having a better season this year than in 2010. I mean, that ERA in the American League where you face the DH is at 2.14. But the thing that stands out was the Major League record. 16 consecutive starts of 7 or more innings and allowing 2 runs or fewer. The only other guy to do that or who had the record before Felix was Tom Seaver, and he did it 13 games in a row. Well, Felix did it 16. So when you do something like that, it's the greatness, it's the consistency, and exclamation point, he's the best pitcher in this league, and he's going to win the Cy Young. Shannon?
I think you're all right. Very good.
I would have, genuinely, as a baseball fan, I think we all would have loved to see Chris Sale for a full healthy season, to see what he could have done in terms of matching Felix. That would have been really exciting, because the only caveat, Gary, as you were mentioning, kind of is that Sale missed so many starts, he's down so many innings. He's been spectacular. But when we were looking at the whole kind
after
of
that performance yesterday, he's off the list.
He's done.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were
look
way
forward
to
it next year. They can have that battle next year.
When we were talking about the Felix streak, the 16 games that Rick was referencing, around the end of Felix's run, Chris Sale had the second longest Felix streak at the time in the American League, and it was like at 5. Wow. 5 or 6. I mean, it wasn't even close. If you go 7-2, 7 or more innings and 2 runs or less, I mean, that is a truly dominant outing, and nobody's come close to Felix this year in that regard.
Okay, so to make this a little bit more interesting in a future roundtable, it's going to have to be Cy Young of the Universe, and we'll do Felix versus Kershaw.
Ooh, Cy Young of the Universe. Yeah. I like that. That is going to take a whole separate
round. That's a new
roundtable
award. I like that. That needs to be on somebody's mantle. That's nice.
We've established so much in this roundtable. I'm excited. We've talked about his own record. We've talked about his own stat. And we've talked about Felix going for Cy Young of the Universe next time.
Yeah,
so this has been a very good roundtable. Well done, everyone. Well done.
So that's the Felix Hernandez aspect of things. What about the Logan Morrison aspect? Before the game as well, Shannon Dreher had a chance to talk to Logan Morrison about everything going on in this wild, wild card race.
You know, you try to leave all that stuff out of the equation. You want to focus on one pitch at a time, one at bat at a time, one inning at a time, one game at a time. You try to simplify it. Makes it easier for you. You know, we know if we do our job as hitters, swing at good pitches, let balls go, we're going to be where we need to be.
You keep saying that, swinging at good pitches. You personally, where are you with that right now, your comfort level of how you're swinging it?
I feel great. When you're going through a season, you always want to be caught in the moment, not really reflect on what's going on. Just, like I said, focusing on what's ahead of you. But, you know, feel confident, feel pretty locked in at the plate. You know, I feel like I'm having good at-bats and helping the team any way I can.
You do have good at-bats. You don't swing at a lot of bad pitches when you're going good. Where did you learn that?
I think I've always been told that. You're only as good as the pitch you swing at all the way up. Kevin Seitzer is my hitting coach when I was, you know, 13, 14, and he kind of brought that approach to me, I guess. I think I'm not an extremely talented hitter. I have to get a good pitch to hit, and then I have to put a good swing on it. And where other guys can, you know, hit balls that are down at their shins or at their, you know, shoe tops out, you know, for me that doesn't work out. So I have to be really focused on the pitch I swing at, and that's what makes me successful. That's what I continue to try to do. Every time before a game, I tell myself, swing at strikes, let balls go, and play loose and relaxed.
How do you see strikes? Have you got specific exercises or anything like that you've done along the way?
Not particularly. I know, like, when I was younger, my dad used to draw seams on the draw, like, colored seams on the ball. So you'd have the seams, and then you'd have, like, a yellow, a red, a blue, and he'd mark on the ball, and then I'd have to tell him what pitch it was, what color it was. You know, not really necessarily if it was a ball or strike, but just helping you pick up rotations and spins and pitches like that, helping you identify pitches. A lot of it is just experience, being able to knock out all the noise, focus on task at hand, and staying in the moment. You know, you do that, that helps you, again, simplify it and achieve what you want to do.
When you look at this offense as a whole, we look at what we saw in August, and that was your best month as a team offensively. You're not too far separated from that. What does that do for you guys to know that, hey, you know, we're just two games separated from 13 runs in a game? You're 2 weeks separated from almost 5 runs a game.
Yeah, I mean, we know what we can do. We know what we're capable of. You know, every team goes through little things like this. A lot has to do with the guy on the mound. You know, if he's continually executing pitches, as hitters, there's not much we can do. You know, it's maybe not the best attitude to have, but at the same time, it helps you be patient. It helps you not worry about getting two strikes on you. If he hasn't made a mistake up until two strikes, then hopefully he'll make a mistake with two strikes. And as hitters, it's our job to hit mistakes.
Absolutely, and that's a great outlook to have for it, and game to game. And today, you got a guy that most of you haven't seen too much of. Your approach when you've got a guy that you don't have a lot of experience against.
Yeah, I actually played with Wade in Miami. You know, throw strikes can be very effective at times. Yet, I think it's the same thing. Hunt the fastball, hunt the middle 13 of the plate, and put a good swing on it. Be aggressive within those 13 inches. You just go from there.
Great stuff there. And finally, Colin O'Keefe up late as well after the ball game. A chance to talk with him directly after what went down after the game and then the post game show. So much going on last night. Crazy night, but it was fun to talk everything out with just a dramatic night with Colin O'Keefe. Well, here we go. After a dramatic victory for the Mariners, we're going to visit with one of our favorites, Colin O'Keefe. You can see him on Twitter, @ColinO'Keefe, lookoutlanding.com.
Thanks for staying up late here. This is after the ball game, after the postgame show, late into the night. But what a dramatic victory for the Mariners. A game that we talked about beforehand that, well, they needed to get, and they got it. What a big win.
I'm sitting here honestly just staring at Felix looks very frustrated. I have the Root Sports replay is on right behind me. And I think, ultimately it was just a crazy night in which I think everyone, when you look around, was frustrated over the course of the evening. You know, you see the Angels roll out this type of lineup. And it was one of those situations where you almost expected this type of thing to play out, not the ultimate conclusion, but kind of the frustration that happened in the middle. Felix is dominant, the lineup's kind of scuffling. And yeah, it was one of those games that the Mariners had to have. And ultimately, I think, all that frustration that was really pent up throughout the course of the game, you know, just, you know, knowing that you needed to have it, knowing that you were effectively facing the Salt Lake Bees, you know, Logan Morrison coming there at the end of it. He's having a lot of fun right now. And it was, I think we're all having a lot of fun tonight. But that was just an unbelievable and indescribable win. It was one of those things where they pushed back that narrative that's, you know, the Mariners falter in these types of games. They really, you know, pushed back that narrative and came through when they needed to have it. It was just, it's hard to put into words.
No, and the frustration is great too. It makes it that much sweeter too when he knocks it out for the 3-run home run on a night where they're just trying to scratch out any kind of run, any kind of hit to get something going, and then bam. And at the same time too, I think James Jones should get a lot of credit for helping set up that situation.
That I saw somebody tweet this. Kirby Arnold, a former, you know, beat writer, I think he was with the News Tribune or another one of the local papers. He tweeted about how oftentimes baseball comes down to the smallest things, and we've seen that so many times when, you know, you look at that inning that Wilhelmsen got out of. How many times have we seen where a wild pitch or a bleeder goes through? But that was one of those situations that we'll probably forget. Where the Angels called a pitch out, and it was a charging pitch out. The catcher flies out of there. James Jones reads it, and he retreats back to first. If James Jones doesn't read that just right, he might get gunned down at second, and this whole thing goes down as who knows what transpires after that. But man, that would have been a bad out. But James Jones on the base pass is just operating on pure speed and instincts. It's not just that speed, because I think there have been times even where I've gotten frustrated and gone, you know, why is James Jones still on first? Why is he not, you know, not only still on first, why isn't he standing on third yet? But he knows when to go. He knows to pick his spots, and man, he gets those just right. And he can get the steal. He can slide his hand in just right. He's a weapon on the base pass, and man, it was nice to have him set that up just right. And Morrison just to bring them all in with one swing.
You know, I think you spotlight a skill for James Jones that should get talked about more often. And now I'm a proponent of net steals because, you know, Billy Hamilton, for example, who has racked up a ton of stolen bases this season, and the number of steals looks good, 56. You know, that's a good-looking number, but he's been caught 23 times. And, you know, you have James Jones, who now, you know, 26 steals. He's been nabbed once. You know, that's a big deal, not only using his speed, but clearly he knows what he's doing on the base pass when it comes to leads and jumps and feeling out a pitcher and all the stuff that is the skill part of stealing bases.
That's exactly it. You mentioned, when you have James Jones on the base pass, if you're, say, hypothetically, you're going to keep somebody on the playoff roster just to steal bases, you want him to be, and James Jones has almost picked up this nickname Moneybags because that's really what he is. When he comes in, it's like you're deploying this asset, this almost like this assassin coming in there. And, you know, it'd be one thing if it were, you know, like when Dave Roberts stole that bag for the Red Sox, man, that was awfully close. You know, this is an older guy on the tail of his career trying to swipe some bags. You know, if you're bringing a guy in exclusively or putting him on the roster exclusively to steal bags, that's a chancy proposition. If he's a guy like Billy Hamilton, he's getting caught every now and then. You don't want to even have, you know, a 15% chance he gets caught, let alone 25, 30, or the 40% that's closer to what good catchers throw out. You know, James Jones is, you get him Kendrys Morales works a walk. Kendrys Morales tonight, he hits a single. You know, if you get a slow base runner on the base pass, this guy gets a walk. It's a single. It's like he hit a. It's like a double off the wall, effectively, when you have James Jones on your bench. I saw some stat Dave Cameron just wrote up. James Jones, I think, leads the league as of whenever Dave Cameron wrote this most recent article for FanGraphs. He leads the league in when he in his percentage of time scoring when he gets on the base path. I think it was close to something like it was up. It was above 40%. I think it was 45%. I'd have to double check it, but it's just an astounding figure that when James Jones gets on the base pass, it's almost like a coin flip that he's coming in for a run. And really he's when a guy gets a walk, when a guy gets, you know, a seeing eye single or a line drive that falls in front of somebody, that's a built-in double off the wall. Yeah. And that's pretty unbelievable.
And tonight, of course, got to talk about the king, Felix Hernandez, who I think he's got the American League Cy Young Award. Tip of the cap to Chris Sale, who's been ridiculous this year. Corey Kluber has been outstanding as well, but I think Felix has outclassed them both. He is having a massive September, and he stepped up in a big way tonight when the Mariners really needed him. What did you see from the King tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, there were some concerns a few weeks ago about whether or not he was having a September where he slowed down a little bit. And tonight, I think, and over the last few starts, he's really started to cement you know, what he's doing. I thought at the beginning of the year that if we saw Felix on a playoff contender, we would see a different animal. And I think that's what we're seeing down the stretch. Like the other day when he pitched, I don't know if it was last start or the start before, he went out on his wife's birthday and he goes, you know, this is a present for my wife on her birthday. And he just dominated. And tonight, even though it was, you know, again, that Salt Lake Bees lineup, you know, if you were watching the game, you could see what he was doing out there. He was toying with these guys, and it wasn't just, you know, the typical fastball command with a bit of the changeup worked in there. You know, it was his vintage Felix Royal curve working as well as I think we've seen it in some time. I saw, you know, there was a crucial at bat against somebody named an O'Malley. It's one of those guys, you know, you've never heard of before. Right. And I know he got him to swing and miss on two of them. It might have been all three on the curve, but it was one of those things where if Felix throws that curve against this kid 200 times, maybe two or three times, he might nick one back to the backstop. Yeah. But that's about all that's going to happen. Because, yeah, I mean, it was that iffy lineup tonight, but still, you could tell Felix had total command of what was going on. And it's nice to see him kind of pad his Cy Young lead a little bit. You know, that's secondary to what happened tonight, and I'm sure Felix would agree. But it's nice to see him, you know, go up there, put out some zeros. And even though we didn't get the win for a pitcher stat, it was still nice to see ultimately the team, you know, go out there and win on a night when Felix was really at his best.
So here we go. 10 games left. Mariners one game back of the A's, one and a half back of the Kansas City Royals, and of course they still have that game they have to finish that they're trailing in extra innings. How do you see this playing out for the next 10 games?
I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, that's what you say when you have 10 games left. You have an L10 in front of you. Like, that's when you like, that's what's so crazy. You look at the standings, they got one L10 in front of them. Is it going to be an 8-2, a 7-3, 6-4? It could be something like that. I think if you look at it, if they go out there and put up, I think, a 7-3, 8-2, I think it's done. They're in. That's hard to do when you're going out on the road. And it's really hard to predict. I think as we look at this next series, there's going to be, you know, similar to the angst that we saw tonight with regards to facing Wade Wonk when it comes to facing the Astros. But, you know, I'm more worried about the Astros than I am, for example, the Blue Jays. I mean, we got four in Toronto, but it's nice to have Felix and Paxton going in that series. But still, when you look at the probables against Houston, this is a big series when you go against Keuchel and you go against Colin McHugh, because those are two very good pitchers. But then on the other hand, man, hopefully the Mariners can ride this emotional win, because so far I believe they're 5-1 in Houston. If they can get the offense going in Houston like they did in a series earlier this year, it could be very big. And it's nice to know that either Kansas City or Detroit, one of those teams is losing at least two games this weekend.
Yeah.
So if you can go out and you can hang a couple losses on the Astros, they're very good and they're starting to be a very talented team. They're about a 500 team. So when you look at, you know, facing the Blue Jays on the road, that's about facing the Astros on the road, except for the Astros got a couple really talented pitchers. So, you know, you got an L10 in front of you. So, you know, I think this Astros series is really a really big series, starting off with Taijuan Walker going back to where his career all started. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, but I think it's nice to know that they control their own destiny if they reel off the type of run that they're capable of reeling off, that they have reeled off on road trips like this before, they're in. But also on the other side of things, if they play competent baseball, if they play 5-10, 6-4 baseball, you look at what the Athletics are doing lately, you really have to wonder if they're going to play above 500 ball the rest of the way. They got an easy schedule, but easy schedules only matter if you win those games. So a couple big series. I think this is the biggest series for the Mariners to keep this momentum going, to keep this emotional high going. It's crazy that they are, you know, as we record this here, closing in on midnight, they're getting on the plane. They're going off to Houston. I'm sure they're about to dip into that ice cream, but it's crazy that they're flying out now. So hopefully they can get this Houston series and then, you know, move on from there. They've beaten up the Blue Jays before. So I think this Houston series is the biggest, but they're capable of wheeling off the type of series that can put this thing away. And if they play competently, they can still get in.
Yeah, lastly, you mentioned the A's and their schedule. Of course, you know, we talked about their schedule being easier, too, heading into the Texas series, and look what happened. They got swept aside by the Rangers. It looked like they were starting to figure things out against the Mariners over the weekend, getting Doolittle back, getting a little more healthy. But now they run into the Texas buzzsaw. What's your take on what's going on with the Oakland A's right now?
You know, I think honestly, it's probably not a popular one. People like to say that Cespedes trade really, you know, wasn't what turned them around. But you know, I'll put out there what I think. I think when you trade a guy like Cespedes, I don't think that he is the difference maker on paper or even in chemistry. But when you trade a guy like Cespedes, your cleanup hitter and the guy that everyone loves in the clubhouse, I think it's a signal to the rest of the players going, you know, you're all playing for laundry right now. You know, any one of you could be traded for an ace pitcher. Any one of you could go at any moment, whether you're Brandon Moss, whether you're, you know, anybody else, one of those, you know, stars, a Josh Donaldson. You know, I think it sends a signal that says, just so you know, we're ultimately all playing for the same thing for right now. But, you know, this camaraderie that you have, this heart that you have, this teamwork that you guys have right now, ultimately that is secondary to making sure that we have the right pieces in there. It's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, I think they have talented pieces, but then on the other side of the coin, they got to pull the ripcord soon. And there are no signs of them doing so. You see the types of way that they're losing ball games right now. You see, again, we saw Doolittle, who is just absolutely dominant. I dread facing that guy.
Yeah.
And he melts down the other night. And then we saw before the Mariners game that they go out absolutely needing to do it, need to at least salvage the series. And they give up four on the top of the first. And I think, you know, part of it is, I think this, people don't like it. I honestly do think that I don't know if chemistry is the right word, but I guess the morale has played a role. Yeah. But then on the other side of it, you have, you know, Sonny Gray, since he passed his career high in innings limit, he's had a really tough go.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, if you're looking at a team that the Mariners want to pass and have the best chance of passing, I think it's the Athletics for sure. I think they need to really pull that ripcord soon, and there isn't any sign that they're going to do so. So I think if the Mariners can get past the Athletics, I think that's a very doable thing. And then you start to think about that wild card one, and who knows, maybe we can host a playoff game here at Safeco Field.
Thanks for staying up late. This was fun. What a fun day. Thanks for the visit. Thanks for the time, and I know we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Always appreciate it. Go M's.
Colin O'Keefe, you can find him on Twitter at Colin O'Keefe. And, of course, lookoutlanding.com, one of our favorites here. And that was it. So Mariners and Astros. And one of the coolest parts of the ball game last night, Taijuan Walker was, of course, sent ahead to Houston to get a good night's sleep, because the team will not be. They'll be flying all night. They probably won't get to their rooms till, I don't know, 6 in the morning, something like that. So Taijuan Walker sent ahead. And as Lomo hits the home run, he's tweeting about it. You know, he's in his hotel room watching the ball game, everything go down. I mean, just like anyone else, just like you or I or anyone else watching the ball game, he's tweeting about it. And here he is taking the mound tonight against the Astros. 5 o'clock first pitch. We'll take the air at 4 o'clock for the pregame show. Man, it's going to be a great weekend. It's a lot on the line. It's going to be a tough weekend. Mariners have a couple of really tough pitchers, two of the better ones in the American League. So their work cut out for them, but it's all right there for the M's. We'll see if they can grab it. So until Monday, have a great weekend.
The Mariners fell behind early, only to find salvation in pinch hitter Doug Strange in the ninth.
Jeff Russell is set to go to work on Strange. Here comes the delivery on the way to Doug, and it's swung on and melted deep to right field, and it will fly away, and we are tied at 4-4. I don't believe it. My, oh, my. First pitch to Doug Strange, a bullet that just screamed over the National League sign of the scoreboard, and they are going absolutely crazy in Seattle. We are tied at 4-4. You look out at that board and see Oakland is leading California 2-0. Can the Mariners finish the job here in regulation?
And then the kid stepped to the plate in the 11th.
Junior tapping that left spike and then the right rather nervously. And here comes Cook back up on top of the mound. Strange's lead at second base. And Dennis Cook, taking a lot of time, is finally into his stretch. The 2-2 pitch to Ken Griffey Jr. now from Dennis Cook. Here it comes, and it swung on and lined off the glove of the third baseman Ortiz. Here comes Strange.
Junior, it's a line drive right off the glove of Luis Ortiz at third base. And now they are three games ahead of the Texas Rangers. And baby, is this looking sweet.
See you later.